The Book Nook on WISO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from the Clark County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Wright Memorial Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Microsun Lamps.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WISO. I'm Vic McCunis. And today I'd like to welcome back to the program Tim Johnston. He joins us on the telephone in beautiful Iowa City, Iowa. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Vic. Thanks for having me on.
What an exciting day, Tim. As we speak, as we are recording this, it is your official publication day for your novel, The Current. Are you excited?
I gather people call it the book birthday. It's a thing on the Twitter and such.
Yeah. Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I'm on all that stuff.
Okay.
I'm on the Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And
gee whiz.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole new world out there.
Well, Tim, we had you on the program for your previous novel, Descent. And that book apparently did well for you.
Yeah, it did great. I was, you know, I went into it with pretty low expectations. I was really happy with the publisher and excited and all of that, but everything, you know, you just sort of kind of keep your expectations in check, and everything that happened was a surprise and a lot of fun.
All right, so here's your second book for Algonquin, and apparently they're expecting great things from you because I see here on the advance copy it says, first printing, 100,000 copies.
Yeah, I'm not sure they print all those all at once. I think that's kind of their game plan, but I don't think they just go to the printer and print up 100,000 copies, but you'd have to check with them. But yeah, there's definitely a vote of confidence going on there.
Somewhere there isn't a warehouse with 100,000 copies of Tim Johnston's book and you sitting in a corner with your pen?
There is. I did go to one warehouse where I had – this is one thing that was different from Descent is I – needed to go to a warehouse in Wisconsin and sign 1,500 copies in advance from orders that booksellers had made. So there was a warehouse, and there were a lot of books there, but I don't think there were 100,000.
You signed 1,500 books at one sitting?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I put that on the Twitter.
How long did that take? Did you take a break or anything?
Well, you know, I had a helper there at the plant, and she kind of fed me, opened the boxes and fed me the stacks. And I had like five Sharpies. And when they took a break, you know, the plant has to take a break every once in a while. I took a break and just sort of got off my feet and laid down on the rubber pad for a couple of minutes, stretched my back out, and went back to work. And it took about 5 hours and about 4.5 Sharpies.
That is really fast. That's an average of 5 a minute.
Yeah. Well, you get pretty quick at it, and it also gets pretty sloppy after a while.
Man.
It's just a kind of scribbly blur. But it was good. It was fun. It was exciting to see all those books at once. It was the first time I actually saw a hard copy of the book.
Tim, your new book, The Current, just is coming out today. We had you on for Descent, and wow. You've really, really done it again with this novel. Tell us how you got the idea for this story.
Well, thanks first. The idea kind of goes back to a story I wrote. Part of the idea goes back to a story I wrote even before I started Descent. And that story shows up in my story collection, Irish Girl, as the story Water. And I left those characters in kind of a big limbo. There was a murder and a mysterious death of a young woman, and a young man was not charged. He was suspected but never charged. And in this small town of Minnesota, folks, pretty much everyone is pretty much devastated by the end of the story, and that was the end. So I'd never planned on going back to it, but about 7 years later or so, I was down in Memphis and I was teaching and I was reading student stories and then suddenly I got the idea of these two young women who were going to leave school for one reason or another and drive up to Minnesota, and All I really know is that they were in for some trouble themselves, and somehow their story and that story I had written years ago would somehow become, pardon the pun, concurrent in some way. And that was kind of what drove the writing of the book.
As we get into the story, you develop all these different subplots, and we eventually find ourselves reading two murder mysteries that are linked in a way, and you have all these different characters that you introduce, and we really get to know a number of them. But one of the characters that is the most interesting to me as a reader is one that isn't a person, and that's a river.
Yeah. Yeah. This kind of happened in Descent, too, where the some sort of landmark feature, in that case it was the mountains, and in this case the river really becomes not just critical to the storyline, the plot, but also kind of over time it became very thematically significant, at least in my mind.
Tim, we have some of those 100,000 potential book buyers out there right now listening, and they're thinking, now, what's he going to say that's going to make me want to read this book? What's he going to tell me about the story? What are you going to tell them?
Well, I'm going to tell them that if they like a story about bad things happening to innocent people and how that plays out in the lives of a small town community and in the world of jurisprudence, innocence and guilt, then I think they'll find this novel interesting. And I think they'll also like it if they really appreciate, kind of a strong character-driven story that has a strong emphasis on language, which is important to me. And, I hope that's enough to get them going.
Tim, my two favorite characters in the story, I always pick peripheral characters that are my favorites because the protagonists are too easy. But in your book, yeah, my two favorites are both very sick and dying. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
I do. I'm afraid that I do, yeah.
I love these two characters. One of them's a dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah,
they're connected in a way.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of a thematic connection between the two that was surprising to me and I think works well in the book.
You have a number of law enforcement officers in this book, including an array of sheriffs. And the old retired sheriff, what an amazing character and a surprising character. How did you come up with this guy?
Well, he was, like most things, he was not like the first character who leapt to mind. You know, he was related to another character, a more, central character at the beginning of the book. And as often happens, the more you get into a story and the more you get into the lives of the characters that are in front of you, the characters that the people that they know become important. And my whole sort of process with this novel was not to plot it all out or have a kind of agenda in mind of where I was going, and just to see how these major sort of crime moments played out in the lives of the main characters. And it turns out that the crime that happens to the young woman that I initially set on the road deeply affects her father, who was the sheriff of the crime from 10 years ago that was unsolved. So he is powerfully affected by what happens to his daughter, and it leads him to do things that he would certainly not have done otherwise.
And another major character is the father of this woman who died 10 years before. And he's, mm-hmm, he's such a sympathetic character. We feel so deeply for his pain.
Yeah. He had more of a role in he was sort of based on a character and a storyline that I talked about earlier from the short story. But he grew to mean a lot to me and to carry a lot of sort of the the physical plot of the story is kind of centers around a lot of the things that he does and goes through and his experiences and his memories about his daughter.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world since 1958. It is the Book Nook. I'm Vic McCunis, and I've been joined on the phone by Tim Johnston, and his book is The Current. It's his new novel, and it just came out today as we are recording this. And he joins us on the telephone in his hometown of Iowa City. And how excited are you about doing a book signing tonight at Prairie Lights in Iowa City? Is that like coolness totally for you?
It is. It has it hits me on many levels. It's, of course, it's my hometown, as you mentioned, and it's a great bookstore, a great independent bookstore. And I've done a number of events there over the years, going back to, boy, a young adult novel I wrote, I had published back in 2002. And there's just a long history there. And of course, Iowa City is this great sort of literary town with the Iowa Writers Workshop here, and it's a great history, and it's just a real honor to be part of that writerly spirit here, and to have my friends come out and my family come out. Just hoping the weather kind of spares us a little bit. It's a bit icy here, but that's at the same time kind of appropriate for this book. So maybe people will get into the spirit of things.
And Tim, you just gave a nice plug to the Iowa Writers Workshop, but you didn't go to that, did you?
I did not. I sort of played around in the periphery of that as an undergraduate. I took courses from writers who were in the graduate program. And but when it came time for me, when I finally decided that I wanted to get my MFA, I was ready to get out of town. Not that they would have taken me, but I was ready to get out of Iowa City. So I applied elsewhere, and I ended up going to the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, and had a great experience there. Got the MFA, and then went out and became a carpenter.
That's right. And that's one thing that I noticed about, well, both of these novels, Descent and The Current, is someone reading these books could really get a good education in how to fix things, Tim.
That's my goal, Nick. That's what it's all about. It's educating the public, self-reliance.
Yeah. It's like you want to fix a toilet, you want to, you know, change the oil in your car, you know, it's all here.
Believe me, that fixing the toilet description was a lot longer.
The gasket.
It was much more detailed because I get kind of carried away because I know, you know, I've done it so many times and I want to get every little detail right. And then finally I had to go back and cut about two-thirds of that out.
Well, it's definitely hands-on in that respect, and you have all these really well-drawn characters in this book, and as we read it, as we get to each chapter, the reader says, okay, now whose viewpoint are we looking at here? And we quickly figure that out within a paragraph or two.
Mm-hmm.
How was it possible for you to pivot like that so smoothly? That must take a heck of a lot of proofing and editing and rereading and just a lot of work.
Yeah, all of that. It took all of that. But I mean, the thing that I that gets me into those particular characters is when I'm writing, when I'm drafting the book, I spend a lot of time in that particular point of view. It's not back and forth like it is in the final version. I'll spend, you know, anywhere from, you know, up to 100 pages or so in one person's point of view if I'm following their story and trying to figure out who they are.
And
I'm hot on the trail of some particular plot or thing that they're going through. And I write to the end of that sometimes. And then I go back later and see where I can break things up and how things are connected and how one person's storyline influences another. And that's kind of a basic pattern, but in this book, more than in Descent, I did sort of try to keep those different storylines in mind. And when I reached a point where I thought one person's actions were really going to influence another person's, then I would make that switch and start writing that person. And but it did take a lot of revising to sort of make that as smooth as possible and not as, you know, as confusing as it might have been.
My guest is Tim Johnston. His new novel is The Current. Tim, when Descent came out, I'm sure you had great expectations and hopes, and the book did really well. You went from being relatively unknown to being a known writer. Did that create any extra pressure for you when you were working on this one?
Well, it did in a way. I mean, I didn't have a lot of I had high hopes for Descent, but I didn't have a lot of expectation. I mean, I was trying to, you know, I just didn't know. I didn't know what it would do. And when it did do what it did, it was exciting and inspiring, and it made me want to get to work on the new one, but I didn't have a new one in mind for quite a while. And my publisher was kind of like, well, this is doing really great. We'd like to get you under contract for a new one. And finally we did that, and finally I had something to show to them. But I knew that by that point that I couldn't sort of repeat, you know, whatever Descent had done. I knew I couldn't sort of catch that same sort of lightning in a bottle or whatever. It has a kind of its own hook it's just kind of a unique writing experience for me. And so I just tried to take on a new kind of story and a new kind of book altogether. And I know there are some similarities, there's crimes and there's sheriffs but it was sort of just, all right, Descent was Descent, and this is going to be its own thing, and people will either like it or they won't, but I need to write the book that I want to write. I can't be, you know, thinking about having another Descent.
And one other commonality, Tim, is there are very strong female characters, Tim, very strong protagonists. How do you do that? You're a guy.
I think as a writer, you are allowed and almost obliged to get into the minds of other people who are not like you, to get into their experiences. There's that old saw that you should write what you know, but I always told my students, you should write what you don't know. You should try and imagine what it's like to be someone who's as different from you as possible. And I think that that's one of the most exciting things for me writing, is when I feel like I'm way away from anything that's even remotely autobiographical. This is just, I've tapped into some other kind of experience, some other kind of human being, and it really helps me to, and it really helps me creatively to really just go nuts.
Tim, we have a couple of characters in The Current who we think might be criminals. And as we go through the story and learn more about them, we're really not sure. In fact, we go through the entire book practically without knowing about this one person, whether this person is a criminal or not. In fact, even at the end of the book, I think in some readers' minds, there might still be a little bit of doubt because this person hasn't gone to trial yet. It makes me think, well, is he going to write a sequel? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Well, there won't, to my knowledge, there won't be a sequel.
Okay.
I'm not planning one. But yeah, that's kind of one of the sort of thematic guiding sort of, I don't know, ideas of the book. I mean, I didn't set out to do it, but I didn't want everything to be completely wrapped up in a nice bow at the end. And I didn't want to jump too quickly to questions of guilt or innocence being decided definitively. For some reason, this was important to me, and, you know, it might not be the best strategy for people, for books in a kind of sometimes put in a genre of mystery and thriller where things do tend to get wrapped up. But to me, this is more what these stories are generally like in real life, is that you have people who are suspected, you have people who are charged, you have people who are incarcerated. It doesn't necessarily mean that the truth has been found out. It just means that the justice system has gone through its machinations, and it could be that they got it totally wrong. But I think there's, you know, I think readers will sort of make their own decisions on that, and I'm all right with that.
Thank you, Tim, because it kind of drives me crazy when I read a mystery and everything gets neatly tied together, as you say, with a bow at the end of the story, mm-hmm. and we just go, wow. And they all lived happily ever after. It's just, it's not like real life. Real life is sloppy and messy and chaotic and incomplete.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we see that all the time in the real stories, but, you know, I sort of like to keep these two novels, these two storylines, as sort of realistic as possible. And what we often don't have in the real life stories that are kind of really grisly or sad is that we don't always know what happens to these people or how they're, or what happened to them in the moment that they were, you know, they met the worst misfortune that they could have met. That part of the story is just a mystery to us. And I think that what makes it real and kind of compelling and kind of maddening.
Tim Johnston joins us in the Book Nook today, and it's the official publication date as we are recording this interview for his new one, The Current. And his publisher, they're going to make him work hard. They're going to make him sell some of those 100,000 books that they're printing because in this day and age, you rarely see a book tour for an author that has a couple dozen events lined up, and you're starting off tonight in your hometown of Iowa City at Prairie Lights, and then they're sending you to some of the hottest bookstores in the country. And in fact, you're even coming through Ohio for our listeners in the Columbus area. Tim,
absolutely,
will be at Gramercy Books in Bexley, and that's Friday, February 8th at 7 p.m. So if you're headed that way towards Columbus that weekend, Friday, February 8th, Tim will be at Gramercy Books in Bexley, 7 o'clock, talking about the book and signing copies of it. And I see they're sending you to Memphis, too. I bet you're excited about that, huh?
I am very excited. I miss Memphis. I had a great experience down there. I lived there for 3 years teaching. And that bookstore has gone through numerous incarnations. It's called Novel Memphis now, but they were about to go under as an indie bookstore, the last iteration, and some local people, some local entrepreneurs and financiers came forward, and they saved it, and it's got a whole new life, and I'm really looking forward to going back down there.
And I see you're going to probably one of the most prestigious bookstores on the West Coast. You're going to be at Powell's City of Books in Portland. That's a big one.
That's a big one. Funny story. Last time when I went on a tour for Descent, I went to Powell's too, and they had just hundreds of books set up and a great, great presentation and a bunch of seats ready for me. But it happened to be the night that the Oregon Ducks were playing for the National Football Championship.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and there was literally about two people in there, and I think they were both staff. Sometimes you cannot look ahead that far and know what's going to be happening on any given night. But I'm excited to go back there and hopefully have at least four or five more people.
Makes you humble, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah. My guest is Tim Johnston. His novel is The Current. Are you working on anything that's going to be coming out sometime in the next few years? Are you working on a new story, or are you just kind of enjoying the ride on this one?
Well, I mean, there was a pretty long down period between Descent and this one where I was teaching and I didn't really write much. So I'm trying to get back in the groove a little sooner this time. I think that will make me happier and my publisher happy. But I'm not really able to speak to anything specifically right now, except to say that there is a work in progress, and hopefully it will not take 4 years this time. Fingers crossed.
Has it been 4 years since Descent?
I think, yeah, 2015, this month.
Wow, time flies. Tim,
right.
Here in Ohio, over the last week or so, we've had some fairly cold weather. We've had some below zero temperatures, and as I was reading your book, The Current, it was pretty chilling to read. You've got a lot of wintry scenes here, particularly on this river, this frozen river. Have you ever experienced falling through the ice yourself?
I'm trying to think. I don't believe I have. I've been on ice that I probably shouldn't have been on, but I don't recall ever actually going in. But I think that's one of those sort of universal mortal dreads that people have. It's probably, you know, as old as humans and animals. But I like to imagine the worst, most uncomfortable situations possible and just write my way through them, you know, and see if I could almost experience it, you know, through the character.
Yeah.
So I really take my time in those moments and really try to feel what it would feel like.
Well, when I was young and foolish, when I was a teenager, I fell through the ice the first time on a river, which, you know, when I read your book, I was like, oh my God, what I was doing was so stupid. And you're right in the middle, you've got that current, that strong current flowing through. And if it's frozen, it's going to be really thin ice. And then the second time we were playing hockey on a lake and the puck went clear off to the side there and I went to go get it and the ice cracked and I fell through. And don't you have a hockey thing in your book?
Right, yeah, out of the book.
I was reading that. And I was just like, this is painful.
That exact thing happens. A puck goes off on the lake and then one of the little kids goes after it and he just falls through and they all have to, how'd you get out of that?
It wasn't the way they do it in your book. One guy just came. One guy came over there on his figure skates and I was right by the shore and he helped me. He helped me get out. But man, you've never been so cold. Once you get out and the wind is blowing, oh, it's the coldest thing in the world. I had to get in the shower with my clothes on to melt the ice so I could get out of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good detail. It's just kind of unimaginable, really, unless you've gone through it.
Well, your story is chilling. The ice and the snow sequences that happen, and I'm not going to say any more, but man, it reminded me somewhat of that incredibly thrilling thing you had in Descent, where they're up in the mountains and it's snowy and icy and there's that drop off in the mountains.
The avalanche kind of moment.
Yeah.
That was fun to imagine. That was, I didn't go to the edge of a precipice like that. But I spent quite a bit of time up in those mountains. So I was kind of familiar with the landscape and the harshness of it all in the middle of the winter.
My guest has been Tim Johnston. His new one is The Current. Happy publication day.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Book Nook on WYSO. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.